Before we finish up on application today, I want to introduce a resource to you. As we've been talking about tools, part of this class is tools. And then I want to talk through the book study. Many of you were able to come to the book study, which we had probably a month and a half ago or so. But I know many of you were not. And so I wanted to review as part of the class. We've walked through how to do a character study. We've walked through how to do a word study. And this is how to do a book study. And so I'm going to walk through that in just a moment. But I want to give you a great resource that is very, very helpful, particularly in the background of the books of the Bible. A lot of good historical information, but also great nuggets in an overview of each book. This book is called Explore the Book by J. Sidlow Baxter. Just a tremendous resource. J. Sidlow has written a number of different things, but this is probably, I think, his best work. And it is a resource that when you're going to do a book study, like what I'm going to explain today, it is worthy to take time to read somebody like this, probably writing 10 pages on a book, maybe. So you're reading maybe 10 pages about that book that you're going to study, but outlines in the book, information that helps you to understand the setting, and nuggets, charts, really, really helpful. And I would not buy it new. I would look to buy it used. Some of you are on Amazon, and Amazon you can look for the book, and they'll give you a new price, they'll give you a Kindle price, and they'll give you a used price. And sometimes you can find a book that costs $25, $30 used for $3.99. The other place that I find good books is Thrift Books, T-H-R-I-F-T. And if you cannot find a book and you're looking for one, you can actually go there, type in the title you're looking for, and they'll send you an email or an update when that book is in stock. And a lot of times you can get good resources there. Remember, the Bible's our number one source, but there are tools, part of this class is Bible study, tools and methods. There are tools that are tremendously helpful. This is one I consult often when I'm in a book study, particularly. It is very, very helpful. For instance, when we started the book of Revelation, I gave you, I think the first message was pretty much a background message of the book. I spent some time in Baxter's book, Explore the Book. And so I want to give that to you. The book study, if you just look at this, first page is kind of the schedule of the night that we had. By the way, some of you wanted to be at this in a very bad way but could not. We are planning to schedule another one of a different book. I believe that we'll have these ongoing maybe once or twice a year just to strengthen all of us. It was very refreshing to be with the believers. I think we had about 55 people out that night and broke into three groups and just learned the Word of God. We read through the Word of God together. So in my circle, we had probably 15, maybe 17 people. And we each read verses all the way through the book of James. So we read the book of James in one sitting. And then people went to page number 2 in this handout, and they decided what they were going to look for in the reading. So we tried to spread it out so we were looking for different things as we were reading the book of James. Then we had a time where we discussed what they observed or what they found in the book that they were looking for. And then we listened to the book through Bible.is, which is a dramatic reading of the scriptures. And so we listened to the book of James in one sitting all the way through chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then we looked for something different on page number 2, and then we discussed. So that was for the sake of group study, but you could do this personally. I know men in the ministry that have taken a book like James and studied it for a month and every day looked for something different as they were reading through the book, okay? So you can take any small book. If you're in a minor prophet like Amos. Obviously, there's some heavy historical background that something like this would help you to have a good background before you jumped in, okay? But nevertheless, we ought not to be afraid to study any book of the Bible. All books of the Bible are relevant. They're rich. They're applicable. There's things for us to dig out of the book. And so you'll see here, we're investigating, page number two, investigate the book. In James, there's a lot of questions. So one reading of James could just be going through the book of James and just identifying the questions. And then does James have an answer in that passage? Or is it a rhetorical question that has an obvious answer? You could take the book of James and say, I'm going to read it today, and I'm just looking for questions. And I have pens, and I didn't bring those, but I mark the question marks all throughout the book in a color so that they stick out to me and I understand where the questions are. You could go through the book and just underline all the unfamiliar words. Sometimes when we're studying, there's a word that we're not familiar with. Surfeiting is one of those words in the Bible that I'm not familiar with. We don't use in our English language all the time. And so when I study to preach and I'm working through a text of Scripture, I make note of the words that maybe I don't quite fully understand and look them up. So you can go through and you can say, well, I'm going to underline unfamiliar words today, and I'm going to learn what they mean. You could go through and identify and mark repeated words. In the book of James, faith is a repeated word. That's an emphasis. It's a theme in the book. You could go through that book and just look at repeated words, words that are brought up over and over again in the text. Observe comparison and contrast. Watch for the word but. So we're going along a train of thought, and then the author says, but, and he goes a different direction. He contrasts. Look for actions taken by God, where God is active in the text. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I'm just giving you just kind of a introduction that for your devotions, you can do a book study. All right? Now, I've done some that I can't do in a day. A couple years ago, I really had never studied the book of Ezekiel. So on my vacation, I said, Lord, I want to be able to read through this book. There's 48 chapters. I want to be able to read through it in 6 days. So I knew I would need to read 8 chapters a day to be able to get through it. But boy, there were things that connected in those 6 days that I would have never gotten if I was just reading a chapter a day. They're just, when you read through a book in a sitting or you compact a book, you can see a lot of things tied together by the Spirit of God. And that's the value of doing a book study. There's a number of other things there that you can look for. Then page number three, in my book study of James, as I was going through, I just developed questions about the book. So chapter one, 5 or 6 questions about the book. Chapter two, 5 or 6 questions about the book. And all the way to chapter number 5. And a lot of different things for me to think on. That forces me to meditate. When I ask questions, I have to think, right? In conversation, this is a little tidbit, but if I do all the talking in a conversation, I'm asking somebody to do a lot of listening. But if I ask questions and I generate conversation, I'm helping people to think into the conversation. Same is true with our conversation with God. God's saying a lot to us, but if I ask questions, then that forces me to think about all that God is saying to me. And so you can develop questions. And then there's page number 4, there's some resources. And in our book study that we had together, I gave some conservative commentators on page number 4 that, again, a commentator is not inspired. Neither are they inerrant. But there are some conservative men that have written. Most of these men, I think all of them have passed on. They bring good things to the table in most cases. All right. Now, once in a while, you'll read something by them and go, huh, never heard that before. When you read something you've never heard before, that's a good time to go, I don't know about that, right? But for the most part, they're doctrinally sound, they're accurate, and they'll help you, and they'll sometimes shed light of understanding. Remember, we don't consult the commentary first. We consult the Bible first. We stick our nose in the Bible and read the Bible. There's some other resources there, the Word Study New Testament. I was explaining to the book study, and we actually used it in our study. The Word Study New Testament is a Bible, the New Testament, that has the Bible, and then it has the Strong's Concordance with it in the same book with your numbers right above the words. So if you get your hands on that, you can be reading and go right back to the word and find out what the word means in the Strong's. Very helpful resource. There's also Bible.is if you like listening. For me, we're all different. Some are audio learners, some are visual learners. For me, I have a hard time listening and staying with something via audio. But some people, they can really glean a lot out of audio. That's a free app that you can listen to the Bible, and it's dramatized. And eSword, we've talked about that. The paperback Bible is what we gave at the book study night. And so, I would encourage you to maybe launch out into the deep and try a book study. And just, you can follow the pattern here of what we've given in James. You may find other things in James that are not on this list and generate your own list. If it's, maybe it's not James, maybe it's another book. So launch out into the deep. Try it. It'll be refreshing. I'm telling you, it'll be refreshing. When I do it, I generally do it. I print off the chapters, one chapter per page, and then I leave a wide border so that I can mark things. And I keep a file of my book studies that I've done and all the different notes that I've written and learned from that particular book. But you can do it right out of your Bible and mark up and learn to investigate the scriptures. It'll bring freshness to devotions. We talked a little bit about that. This is one way that you can dig in and have some freshness. And then the next book study that we have here at the church, which will probably be towards the end of the year at this point, seek to get out to one. Seek to be with the other believers and do it with other believers. It's a good opportunity. All right, James chapter 1, and there's another handout on application today that you should have received last week. But if you do not have that handout, excuse me here, I think we have some of those in the back. If you would like to get the handout of the application, handout, we'll give that to you so you can follow along in the notes this morning. James chapter 1, verse number 22, by way of review, we learn that one thing about the character of our God is God's not a suggester. God gives commands. Commands are important. The Bible says in James 1, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Somebody help me. What is the warning here in this verse? Dave?
Self-deception.
Self-deception. Somebody tell me how it occurs. Karen? Okay. All right. Right. Dave?
Thinking it applies to someone else and not to you, like rules for thee but not for me.
Okay. We were out witnessing yesterday. There were at least three opportunities yesterday where people gave the gospel, I think maybe four, where we were actually able to give the gospel to somebody. In the one that I got to deal with yesterday, a couple in their 80s, so late in life, married 67 years, Methodist background, took time in their living room for 35 minutes to walk through the gospel. And when we got to the end of it, the man said, "Sir, I believe maybe what you've explained, maybe that happened somewhere in my life." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful." I said, "But it would have been connected with hearing the gospel. What I just explained about Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection of Christ, our sin, were those things explained to you when you're recalling that this may have happened?" He said, "No, I've never heard this." And I said, "Well, a Bible testimony of salvation looks like this." And I explained how a person gets saved. And he continued to go on and say, "Well, I think I'm okay." And we walked away. Bill Heim was with me. We were witnessing. We were burdened. We were very burdened. These people are in their 80s, and they don't have a clear testimony of salvation, but they think that something happened somewhere that makes them ready for heaven. And how do you overcome that? Well, they've been hearing a lot, but they've never heard the gospel. That's a problem. And then yesterday, they make a choice, and everybody has to make their choices about Christ. And they made their choice not to obey the gospel. Now, where's that going to lead? If I'm not a doer of the word, and I'm only a hearer, thank God we got to present yesterday the gospel to them. Thank the Lord that they got to hear a good gospel, a wonderful good news. But if they don't do what they hear, then what? They're deceiving themselves. And my friend, that comes over into the Christian life. If we hear, but we don't do, then what begins to take place in our hearts? Self-deception. That's the warning. That's why in Bible study, observation's important, interpretation's important, that we get the right interpretation of the Bible, but we better have application. We better learn to apply what we have learned. And so last week I gave you this thought, it's in your handout, that I think it was Hendricks that said, observation plus interpretation minus application equals abortion. Or in other words, the words conceived in our hearts, we get it. We learn the meaning, but its intended purpose is to change our life. Here a baby's conceived in the womb. The intended purpose is for it to come to full term birth and be born and have life on this earth. When we cut that process short with a baby, we call it abortion. When we cut the process of God's word in our life short, it's abortion. It doesn't hit its intended target. So application. Last week I challenged you at the end of the lesson that we taught last week and we preached last Sunday morning on the metaphors of the church, and we preached last Sunday night on dealing with distinction. And I encouraged you to take an application away from each one of those services. Every service, I believe, God is applying the scripture. And if we can come service after service after service and week after week and month after month, and we don't ever make application of the scripture, my friend, I want you to know where you're headed. You're headed towards self-deception. That's the scripture. And so truth is to turn into godliness. We learned that in Titus chapter 1. Turn over there if you would. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1. If Bible study is without application, if you have your devotions just to get them done, or you're just fascinated with Bible stories, that's just an intellectual approach to the Bible. And that's deadly. That will build up and puff you up. You'll be arrogant, but you won't be spiritual. Spiritual people make application. They take what they learn and they make application. Titus 1, look at verse number 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after what? Godliness. That's my everyday life. Truth is presented so that I can be more like Christ practically. Every day in my life that I'm growing, I'm applying what I'm learning. And I'll tell you who's less apt to struggle with application and who's more apt to struggle with application. The new convert applies. Oh, that's what the Bible says? Oh, I'll go home and do that. Here's Don Meckley. Years ago, Don got saved. Don passed away from us with, I believe it was cancer. Linda and her partner got to lead Don to the Lord. And Don heard me teach, or Pastor Starr teach, on drinking. And he called me up one day in the office. This is not too long after you're saved. He said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. I said, okay, what you got to talk about? He said, from what I got from the sermon, drinking's wrong. Is that right? I said, yes, you're right. It's wrong according to the Bible. He said, okay, because he says, I'm getting ready to take the alcohol out of my fridge and dump it down the drain. I said, good choice. Really good choice. You know what Don was doing? He was hearing and he was doing. That's how you grow. And I'll tell you, the people who struggle the most with hearing and doing, those that have been saved a long time, those have been in church a long time. We learn to go through the motions. We get this mindset that we've attained. Like, we're kind of at what is expected. And we get lazy in application. And our hearts grow cold. And we self-deceive ourselves that we're spiritual because of length of time saved, or because of length of membership in a church, or because I've been here all my life. And my friend, none of that has to do with spirituality. Spirituality is connected to application. If you are applying, you are growing spiritually. If you're not applying, you're self-deceived. And so, this is a good lesson for all of us. Most of the faces I'm looking at, I have known for quite a long time. And you've known me for quite a long time. So it is a good thing to be reminded of application. What should take place in application? In your notes, there's a number of blanks. Preparation should take place in application. One of the things that we need is an honest, teachable, tender heart that allows God to have full access. In your life as a believer, that's been saved for some time, it is important that you keep your heart in a tender, teachable, full access place for God to be able to get anywhere. You know what we call that? Surrender. Surrender. If I stay in a surrendered place, that I'm continually in my relationship with God saying, God, touch anything today as I go to church. Lord, help me to see something that I can grasp and practice in church. You know what? Got to do that if our heart's in the right place. Then there's a process. There's a process. Know yourself. Know yourself. I don't mean this bad. I'm not trying to be psychological this morning. But most of us know our strengths and our weaknesses. We know where the struggles are. We know the thought patterns that get us in trouble. We know the temptations that we deal with that are strong, maybe stronger in our lives than in somebody else's life. We know whether or not our tongue is an issue that we deal with on a repetitive basis that allow things to come out of it. Know the sin that easily besets you. Know your gifts, your spiritual gifts. Know that your heart is deceitful. Now take that statement out of Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And bring that to James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Can I tell you something about your deceitful heart and my deceitful heart this morning? And that is this: it is comfortable without addressing anything or changing anything in your life. That is what a deceitful heart is comfortable in. That I don't need to change anything. That I can just coast where I'm at. That's where a deceitful heart will lead you to be a hearer and not a doer. Like, I'm fine. Hey, how you doing spiritually? I'm okay. Yeah. I got a struggle here too, but you know, I'm okay. What have you been working on as far as what God has God been dealing with you about that you're working to change in your life? I don't know. Last 6 months, anything God working in your life to change? I don't know. What you're saying is this: I'm not applying. My deceitful heart has got a grip on my soul. I'm not applying the Word of God. And Christian, if you're not applying the Word of God, as we said before, you're not growing. Notice, know yourself. Number two, relate the Word to your life experience. Relate the Word to your life experience. In your handout, we have Philippians chapter 1 or chapter 2 as a study. And we'll hopefully get to that and do that as a church next Sunday morning in Sunday school. But in Philippians chapter 2, there are things to relate to our lives. One is, I'm to hold forth the word of life. That's speaking of Christ. So in my life, I am to be holding, ing word, forth the word of life. I'm to be making Christ known. Should that be applied to your life this week? It should. You ought to relate that to your life this week and ask questions like this: who can I make Christ known to? Lord, what can I do to keep Christ at the forefront of my mind so that I'm ready to present Christ to people, because I'm to be holding forth the word of life? That's one phrase out of that text. There's another phrase that goes like this in that text: do all things without murmurings and complainings. Now, that's pretty self-explainable. That can be applied. Lord, in my life this week, when there's an opportunity to murmur or to complain about something, Lord, by your Spirit, would you bring back what I have studied so that I make headway in that area of growth? Folks, if we're not doing this, if we're not applying, then what is the Word of God to us? It's dry. It's dead. If it's not changing me, if it's not grabbing some aspect of my life and changing it, what good is it to read it? I mean, I read a lot of other books that don't change my life. But this is an alive book. This is a supernatural book. This is the book that the Spirit of God uses to change lives. And so, as I'm reading, as we're listening to preaching, we need to relate the Word of God to life experience. That's why in my preaching, you'll hear me say, and I have marked in my notes, application. Hey, this ought to affect your life in this way. You ought to be comforted by the nourishing and the cherishing that God does in our lives, as I preached last week. We ought to talk about being distinguished from male and female. There's application to be made there. I ought to make those applications so that I exalt God. But if all we do is listen and we never apply, we're not relating the Word of God to our lives. Memorize and meditate on Scripture. As you're learning to apply, memorize and meditate on Scripture. Why? Because then the Scripture is, it's there. God can bring it back. If you're having struggling with complaining in your life, then memorize Philippians 2:14. Make a note card of it. Keep it with you. This takes diligence. When the Bible talks about being diligent, this is the kind of stuff that it takes for us to be able to change and be more conformed into the image of Christ. Ask questions to personalize the passage in your notes. Ask questions. What am I challenged to do? How has it encouraged me today, what I read? Is there a command to follow in this text? Is there a sin to avoid or to confess? Is there a victory to gain? Is there a promise to claim? Now, I'm not saying you're going to sit down in every passage, you're going to go through this checklist of 20. Nobody's got 5 hours a day to study the scriptures. Most of us don't have that. But what I'm saying is at least have a game plan that at the end of your devotions, you're at least asking some personal questions about the text. It's got to affect me today. I need it to touch my heart today. Is there a warning to heed? Is there a temptation to resist? Is there a prayer that is worth repeating to the Lord from my heart? Boy, the psalmist prayed this prayer. Boy, I can pray these similar words to God. And then make a decision to change. Make a decision to change. Turn over in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One of the things that I know about my life is this. I've been under a lot of good preaching, teaching. But I can tell you this, the preacher or the teacher, all the preachers and teachers, and I've been under some great teachers and preachers, but none of them are responsible for life change in my life. They present the Word of God. Individuals have to make the decision to change. As a pastor, one of the pressure points that I relieved off myself a number of years ago was, you know what? I can't make people change. I can't force a heart change. That is a work of God. That is a response of somebody to the Word of God. I can bring truth. I can preach truth. I can counsel behind closed doors, biblical truth. I can give tools to help people to change. But you know what? I can't put the work in for it to happen. That's an individual decision. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I am convinced of this. If there's not a right relationship with the Spirit, there will not be biblical change. We are changed by the Spirit of the Lord. If you're not hearing the voice of the Spirit, but the Word of God is being preached, my friend, there is something broken in your heart. You're not going to be biblically changed. You're not going to see areas. But if your relationship with the Spirit is right, guess what the Spirit's going to do? He's going to work on you. He's going to bring things upon you that need addressed in your life. And we are changed into that image. Make a decision to change. And then here's the last point, last 2 points. Make a plan. Make a plan. So much of the time we spend in counseling is really developing a plan. When somebody is dealing with anxiety, when somebody is dealing with depression, when somebody is dealing with doubts, we really urge them to do a lot of work in the Word. One of the things that we really urge somebody that is discouraged and depressed to do is to write down 3 times a day 3 things that you're thankful for. So 9 things a day, 3 times a day. We get that principle out of Psalms where the psalmist cried out to God 3 times, at morning, at noon, and at evening will I cry out to you. And this is a principle that we teach, and it goes like this. When the intensity of your trials step up, the intensity of your relationship with God has to match it. So morning, evening, and at noon, you need to do that. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, didn't he? And so you being in contact with God, asking God 3 times a day what to be thankful for, then pass that on to somebody else. pass something you're thankful on to somebody else during the day. And you know what happens? God begins to change a person's perspective. God begins to pull them out of a pit. Why? Because they're becoming diligent in application of the scripture. They're learning to be thankful. When we deal with marriages, people get negative mindsets about their marriage partner. And when you think negative, how does that make you feel about your marriage partner? Very negative. Dark, hopeless, frustrated, ready to give up, lose hope, all of those things. So guess what I instruct them to do? I tell them this. You've been going to the dark room an awful lot. You know what happens in dark rooms? My father-in-law showed me years ago how to develop black and white photos. In dark rooms, you develop negatives. And you've been developing a lot of negatives. And sometimes we're in a marriage situation with husband and wife. And it's time to start developing some positives. So practically, we're to think right. We're to 1 Corinthians 13, thinketh no evil. That's part of love, isn't it? And so how are we going to do that? Well, we've got to retrain our minds to think about our mates in a good way. And so we give homework. You know what the homework looks like? I want you to write down 25 things about your mate that you appreciate this week. 25 things. And then we tell them, I want you to rehearse it out loud. See, one of the benefits about being a preacher is this. I get to rehearse out loud what the Bible teaches. And whenever I say something out loud about something, I believe it stronger. And you do too. When I proclaim the gospel, I believe it stronger. I become more firm in it. All right? Well, in some situations, we talk about our mate or we talk negatives to our mate and we believe it stronger every time we do it. And we're thinking evil and we're pronouncing we're evil speaking, and it only creates a bigger stronghold. But if I will apply, boy, I'm to think proper about my mate. Watch this. Your mate has value to God. Therefore, your mate ought to be valuable to you. Your mate was created by God with good qualities. That means your mate has good qualities. God can see them. Can you see them? And work at this. And you know what happens? You're renewed in your mind. And what does the Bible say? That's a transformational process. When I'm renewed in my mind, I'm transformed. My life is transformed. And people that will give themselves to that application, you know what? There's going to be some change that takes place, some good biblical change. Another thing that we deal with is people going in their minds in a wrong direction in their thought life and helping them to see, to cast down imaginations, catch that thought and where it's from. Truth is, we have stop and think cards we give out. Here's a thought. I want you to write down the bad thought, the torturous thought that you're dealing with. And on the backside, I want you to renew it and say, I'm stopping that thought. And Lord, I want to renew my mind with this. There are some people in this building that have done 30 and 40 of those cards, identifying wrong thoughts and putting right thoughts in. And I'll tell you, every time they do, they get victory. And their thought life is better. What is all that, preacher? That's plan. That's diligence. That's application. And we have to make a plan. Then we have to follow through. Follow through. We need to follow through. And application is, what is God saying to me? Now, Christian, this week, if you had devotions three times and you've been at church three times, those are at least six opportunities in the Word, and that doesn't count where the Holy Spirit can talk to you throughout the day about something or convict you that you're wrong in something. But all of that is meant to say, Lord, what should I do? I've understood. What do I see? That's observation. Interpretation, what does it mean? I got to get the right meaning from Scripture. But I got to get to this application. What should I do? You know what? All of us struggle here. Every person here struggles with this. Nobody's batting 1,000% that every message we take something away, every devotions we take something away. And I'm not saying we're perfect. None of us are going to get there. But I am saying this. Every believer here this morning ought to be encouraged and motivated and challenged. I have got to be doing something with what I'm getting. Spirit of God, speak to me so that I know what I'm to do. Listen carefully in the messages for the applications of the Scripture. This morning I'm preaching on worship. There's going to be applications in there, okay? Listen and let God do that. Make a plan. A lot of times when I was sitting under my father's ministry, as I was taking notes in the sermon and God dealt with me about something, I would actually write down in my notes, this is what I've got to do. I got to make this change. I got to implement this into our family. Make the change. Let's bow for prayer.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.